Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. In 1849, railroad workers in Charlotte unearthed a skeleton that helped piece together Vermont's geological history. The unlikely discovery of what's come to be known as the Charlotte Whale and the scientific boon it led to is chronicled in a new book by Jeff L. Howe called How Do You Get a Whale in Vermont? The Unlikely Story of Vermont's State Fossil. Jeff Howe is the former curator of the Perkins Museum of Geology at UVM, and he joins us now on the line. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning, Mitch.
Now, can you tell us about the discovery of these now famous whale bones? I mean, who found them initially?
Well, initially, they were found during the digging of the first railroad across Vermont. And interestingly, they were discovered the summer after a mammoth fossil was found in the same dig up in Mount Holly. It was found in a farmer's field about 200 miles and two mountain ranges away from the nearest ocean.
That is sort of amazing. I mean, 200 miles away from the nearest ocean. Was this at first a bafflement for scientists? I mean, what did they eventually conclude about how this beluga whale could be where it was?
Well, at first it was a huge bafflement because the two biggest questions in geology at that time were, one, how old is the Earth? And two, how did the Earth get to look the way that it does? At the time, there was no real explanation for it. And yes, it was a huge bafflement, and it turned out to be something that was really one of the most important paleontological finds in New England of the 19th century.
And one of the things you write about in the book is that it wasn't very long after this discovery that Darwin actually published his theory of evolution. And all of this was tied in at the time with a lot of disagreement, discussion, argument about the origins of the world. And, you know, there was thought about the Bible and then thought about glaciers. How did this all tie into that?
Well, at the time, Louis Agassiz was probably the most famous scientist in the world, and he was located in Boston. And he had come from Europe. He had grown up in the Alps, and he had seen the evidence of glacial activity. And when he came to Vermont and New England, he said, well, the same thing is going on here. And people didn't agree with him. They thought that it was probably the result of the flood of Noah. And so this whale, the associated mammoth that was found, and Louis Agassiz's participation in the project is really the thing, I think, that made science look at New England and say there's really no other way that these features could be formed other than from massive glacial activity. So that helped to solidify the glacial theory in New England.
So before these bones were discovered, what did we know about the origins of the state of Vermont?
Well, not much, not much. And Zadok Thompson, the fellow who actually identified the whale, was the state's greatest observer. And he had observed glacial erratics in the mountains. He had observed piles of sorted and unsorted sediments throughout the state. He had located old beach lines, ancient beach lines that contained shell fossils from animals that were very similar to those living in the North Atlantic at the time. And to this day, his observations have turned out to be spot on.
Now, the Charlotte whale is not the only one that's been found in Vermont, but why haven't we heard as much about some of the others?
Well, the Charlotte whale was the first one that was found. It's probably the best preserved. It's such a fascinating story. I mean, the whale was constructed in 1861 as a result of some other catastrophes in Vermont.
What other catastrophes are those?
Well, specifically, the State House in Vermont burned down in 1857. And contained in the State House at that time was the entire natural history collection of the state of Vermont. Albert Hager, who was the new state geologist, was commissioned to put together new exhibits. And so he very quickly went to Zadok Thompson's widow and bought the whale specimen and some other of Thompson's specimens for new exhibits, and looked at the whale fossil and realized it was all beat up and wasn't in a form that anyone could make any sense out of. So he very quickly, with the help of an assistant, patched together the skull with burlap and boot polish and wire and created something that would look interesting to the public. So when you look at the whale now, today, many times people have considered taking the whale apart and reconstructing it to make it anatomically correct. But we decided that, you know, it's more important as a historical specimen than it is an anatomical specimen. So it's always remained with all of its warts and backward-facing bones and mismanaged skull.
So it's really tied up with the entire history of the state of Vermont in so many ways. I guess it survived the flood of 1927 as well.
It did. The whale at that time was stored in the State House. Unfortunately, the entire natural history collection, again, of the state of Vermont was stored in the basement office of the state geologist. And that complete collection was inundated and boxes filled with mud. And in fact, when I was curator of the museum in the 1990s, one of the really fun things that I got to do was go through some of those original boxes and hose the mud out of them and retrieve the specimens and the records, and it was like a treasure hunt.
What are some of the things that we still don't know about the Charlotte whale that maybe scientists are still puzzled over?
Well, the most important thing we don't know is the exact age of the fossil. We have assigned an age of about 11,500 years due to anecdotal circumstantial kinds of evidence with the sediments. But when Zadok Thompson found the fossil in 1849, one of the first things he did was to slather it with horse glue to keep it from cracking and drying out because it had been preserved in these very wet sediments. It did the job at the time, but what it did was render the fossil. You were unable to carbon-14 date the specimen because you'd only be measuring the age of the glue of the horse that donated it.
Now, as the title of your book suggests, you were instrumental in helping the whale become the state fossil. Were there other contenders for that honor?
There weren't contenders for the honor, but there were others that were suggested, the most important being the Mount Holly mammoth, which I've spoken of. And in fact, there is an effort underway down in Mount Holly to have that designated as the state terrestrial fossil. There are some trilobites around the state. There's the Brandon Lignite. There are the fossil reefs up in Isle of Mott. But the public energy was behind the whale at the time.
Jeff L. Howe is the author of How Do You Get a Whale in Vermont? The Unlikely Story of Vermont's State Fossil. He's the former curator of the Perkins Museum of Geology at the University of Vermont. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. It's been fun.